Diplomatic friction over the war in Iraq is sending sparks far beyond the United Nations, and some American politicians and consumers continue looking for ways to express their displeasure, especially with France. NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports on what future flare-ups could mean for business on both sides of the Atlantic.
When France refused to support the war in Iraq, Michael Levine got mad. And Levine says many other Americans did, too.
Some are revolted. I'm revolted.
Levine, who owns a PR firm in Los Angeles, organized a campaign to persuade Americans to boycott French wine.
When I'm on talk radio, they take calls, people saying I wouldn't drink French wine, I've thrown it out, I want to boycott all French products.
It's not clear how potent this sentiment really is. One poll by Worthland Worldwide and Fleischmann Hillard International found attitudes hardening. Worthland's chief executive, Dee Alsop, says nearly half of those surveyed reported that they would probably shy away from products made in France.
We know that Americans typically overstate their intentions, and our rule of thumb is to look at how many are saying they're very likely instead of just somewhat. And you're getting about a quarter of Americans saying they're very likely to boycott French products.
One in 10 Americans polled said they were very likely to boycott German products as well. But the survey showed that a boycott could have unintended consequences. For instance, respondents cited Heineken as a German beer. It's actually made in Holland. And that's not the only case where people were confused.
Grey Poupon, we think of that as a French product, but it's been made here in the United States for nearly 50 years.
Another survey found that even Americans who back a boycott worry it could hurt the wrong people. Almost a third said they would not shun foreign products if these were actually made by Americans. Danone yogurt, for instance, comes from a subsidiary of a French company, according to spokesperson Anna Moses. But its U.S. headquarters and three plants employ about 1,000 Americans, and that's not all.
As another example, we purchase about $100 million worth of milk and other dairy products from about 600 American dairy farmers.
Economist Joseph Quinlan of the Center for Transatlantic Relations at Johns Hopkins University says the U.S. and Europe's economies are knit together far more thoroughly than most people realize.
What U.S. subsidiaries produce in Europe and what European subsidiaries produce in the United States, their gross product, that's what it's called, is over $300 billion a year. And $300 billion a year is greater than the output of most countries.
And the reality of globalization has already blunted some politicians' efforts to punish foreign companies. For instance, South Carolina's legislature dropped a pro-boycott resolution after lawmakers realized the French firm Michelin had factories all over the state. U.S. corporations have also been working to calm things down. Willard Workman is a trade specialist at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is helping assemble an anti-boycott coalition.
While everybody is concerned and watchful, we have not seen so far major canceling of contracts, redeploying suppliers, anything of that nature.
But corporations still worry that things could get out of hand and that U.S. companies could face a backlash in Europe. Some European restaurants, including 10 in Hamburg, have halted sales of Coca-Cola and Marlboro cigarettes. Jean-Yves Mabilot owns one of them.
We decided to react on the boycott of the French product in America. It's also a way to protest against the war, of course.
Gunter Burghardt, the European Union's ambassador to the U.S., has been telling U.S. politicians they really need to remember how much is at stake.
The economic relationship is so broad, so deep, and so important for both economies that we are talking here about serious things, and we should therefore keep cool on rhetoric.
Because, he says, those who fire volleys across the Atlantic could end up shooting themselves in the foot. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.